So it all started with the Passover, then days of unleavened bread, and now we had a trumpet and atonement. And by next week, we'll be heading out for the Feast of Tabernacles. And all these holy days, you know, God, when he brought the people out from Egypt, God brought them out physically, and through his laws and his commandments, God also had to bring them out of Egypt mentally. Because for them to dwell in that land and dwell there happily and live long, they needed to come out of Egypt physically, and they also needed to come out of Egypt mentally. And God did this through his power, show of power in Egypt, the miracles he performed on their way to the promised land, and the commandments and the laws that he gave to them to, you know, to keep them spiritually fit to walk with God. But today, these holy days, what do they mean to us? It's a way also that God is using to prepare us, to remind us that Jesus Christ is coming back again, and to prepare us to inherit this kingdom. But Jesus Christ says something, that before we enter into the kingdom of God, we must become like little children. We must become like little children. Charlie, during his sermonette, was talking about self-sacrifice, a way of preparing ourselves for the kingdom. But in my message this afternoon, I want to remind us that it is very important for us to become like little children in our service to God. And I want to take us to Matthew 18. Please turn to Matthew 18. Matthew 18:1. Matthew 18:1. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become like little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus Christ emphasized how important it is for us to humble ourselves, to become like little children before God, in our service to God, before we can enter into God's kingdom. If you turn to Matthew 19:14. I'll read from 13, Matthew 19:13-14. Then were brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, Suffer little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Of such is the kingdom of heaven. If you turn to Isaiah 11. Isaiah 11:6. Says, The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kids. the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them. So, this is very important. Having the personality of a little child when we are walking with God, when we are serving God, is very important. That is how God wants us to be in order to inherit his kingdom. Jesus Christ said, "Whosoever that will humble himself like a little child is the greatest in God's kingdom." And in Isaiah 11, it says, "A little child shall lead them." That does not mean a little child, literally like Gabriel or any other little child. It means whosoever that will humble himself, that become like a little child, humble, teachable, trusting, believing, loving like a little child, will enter the kingdom of God, will inherit the kingdom of God. And all these holy days, as we celebrate all these holy days, it is very important that these processes that God is taking us, humble us, bring us to become like little children before God, so that we can learn, so that we can serve, so that we can trust and do whatsoever God wants from us in order to inherit the kingdom. And I want us to go through some of the qualities of little children and see how we can learn from those qualities and, you know, implement them in our own lives. So one of the qualities of little children is humility. Humility. And I want to take us to Isaiah 9:6. Because we are looking up to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the person that we are looking at. We are following his footsteps. Let us look at his personality. Let's see if Jesus Christ had the personality of a child when he was in this world. Isaiah 9. Let's see what Isaiah 9 said. Isaiah 9:6. The prophecy about the coming king. Isaiah 9:6. Isaiah 9:6 said, "For unto us a child is born." Unto us a child is born. So when you look at this child here, unto us a child is born, it means a newborn baby. And it also says much about his personality, the personality of this child. Say, unto us a child is born. Jesus Christ had the personality of a child when it comes to serving God, submission to God. Everything that God says, Jesus, that is what Jesus Christ would do. When Jesus Christ was here on earth, he said, I never said anything on my own, but I say whatsoever I hear from my Father. Jesus Christ was 100% submissive to God the Father. And that is what a child does. That is what a child does. And he says, unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. So if we go back to Isaiah 11, where he says a child will lead them, it's connected to these scriptures. He said this child, the government, will be upon his shoulder. And Isaiah 11 said, there will be peace, where lamb and lion will live together. The lion and the kids will dwell together, but a child will lead them. A child will be the leader. Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also had highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things on earth, and things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So the Bible encourages us to let the mind of Jesus Christ be in us. The mentality of Jesus Christ. The personality of Jesus Christ. He humbled himself and submitted to God the Father. He did not consider equality with God a robbery, but he humbled himself and took the place of a servant, the position of a servant. And he was so submissive to God, even unto death. He submitted even to death. And the writer of Philippians was saying that we should let this mind also be in us. We must become like little children for us to inherit God's kingdom. And little children are humble. Humility is one of the attributes of a godly person. We know the story of Lucifer, a child of God as well. Because the book of Job told us that when the sons of God were gathering, he also came. We know how he wanted to overthrow God. He loved to be in God's position. He loved to be in God's kingdom. He loved the control and so on. But how did he do that? If you turn to Isaiah 12, and I'm turning to this place so that we would never think about anything like this, or put ourselves in position like this to be like him, or to think that we can enter into God's kingdom through this method. Isaiah 12. Isaiah 12, 14. Isaiah 14, 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the side of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the side of the pit. So, when we lift ourselves up, then it's normal. God is not going to do it because we are the ones lifting ourselves up. Whenever we lift ourselves up, we will be brought down, because that is the law of gravity. Even physically, anything that goes up must come down. But if we want to project and go very high, we must start from the ground. Then we can be projected. And that is what God wants us to do. That is who God wants us to be. God wants us to be humble. God wants us to be humble, and we're not doing this to please God. This is who we are. This is our real position. This is our real position. The Bible says we are nothing. We are like the chaff. We are nothing. But when we think that we are something before God, that is a sin before God. We must humble ourselves. We must take our true position before God. And that is what we are saying today, how we can become like little children in order to inherit God's kingdom. Proverbs 15:33. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Before honor is humility. Micah 6. The book of Micah 6, 8. He has shown thee, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. To walk humbly with thy God. 1 Peter 5, 6. The book of 1 Peter 5, 6. Says, humble yourself therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due times. 2 Chronicles 7:14. I'll start from 13. And God said, if I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sins, and will heal their lands. So this is how powerful humility is. God said, no matter what I've inflicted on my people, they can only humble themselves like we are doing today. They can humble themselves, and turn from their wicked ways, and seek my face. Say, I will hear, I will forgive their sins, I will also heal their land. That is how powerful humility is. So, as God's children, let us be truly children in the presence of God. Let us humble ourselves before God and before his people. And another attribute of a child or quality of a child is that children are teachable. They are teachable. That's the time you raise a child to a status you want that child to be, what you want that child to be in the future. No matter where the child is going, it's going to be a doctor, it's going to be whatsoever the child will be, he must be molded to become that from childhood, because that's the moldable time. A child can only be molded. An adult is so difficult for you to change an adult. You can only change a child because they are teachable. They can listen. They can trust what you're saying. They can believe you. And this is what God wants from us. God wants us to give him listening ears. God wants to mold us. God wants to mold us to be the kind of people he wants us to be. God wants to, you know, make us to be, to conform with the image of Jesus Christ. And that can only happen if we can become like little children before God. And if you turn to Proverbs 22:6, Proverbs 22:6. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So when you look at this scripture is referring to our children. This scripture is referring to us as children, allowing God to mold us, to train us up, because God is training us up right now to be in the kingdom. And God does not want a situation where we'll get into the kingdom and we will corrupt God's kingdom. No, God is raising up children right now so that when they grow up and get into the kingdom, they will never depart from everything that they have been taught of God here on earth. So God is raising us up like little children today, so that when we get into God's kingdom, we will not change. We will not go out of everything that we have learned from in this world, from these scriptures. So these scriptures applies to us. It also applies to our physical children. So we can only grow if we allow God to teach us. And we must have that childish mentality, or children mentality, of learning, believing, trusting everything that God is telling us, so that God can mold us to enter into his kingdom. So that when we get in God's kingdom, we will not change, we will not transform just like Lucifer. So this scripture applies to us as well, as God's people. If we can become like little children, then God will train us up in a way that we will never depart from when we grow up. And if you turn to Psalms 86:11. The book of Psalms 86:11. Psalms 86:11. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. How can God teach us if we are not teachable? How can God teach us when we think that we are wise, that we know everything, that we know it all? How can God teach us when we already know? We must become like little children to learn from God. We must become like little children. We must come before God empty, like empty people, people that doesn't know anything, so that God will teach us. Because before God, we are nothing. We don't know anything before God. The Bible says, as heaven is high above the earth, so are God's ways higher than our ways. God's ways higher than our ways. And the other place in the Bible, it says that the weakness of God is greater than man's, and the foolishness of God is wiser than man's. Whatever we think we know, what God considers foolishness is wiser than whatsoever we think we know. Therefore, anytime we come before God, we must come like little children, which we are. We are little children before God, and we must allow God to teach us, to mold us, to prepare us to inherit his kingdom. Matthew 11. Matthew 11:29. Jesus Christ said, Matthew 11:29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So learn from me, This is very important. Every day by day, every Sabbath we come here, let's learn from Jesus Christ. And when Jesus Christ said, learn from me, Jesus Christ was not saying, oh, listen to what I'm saying. Just listen to what I'm saying. No, Jesus Christ taught in so many ways. He taught them verbally. He taught them through his relationship with other people, how he related to other people, how he calmed the storm, how, you know, Jesus Christ taught through his life. His everyday life was a lesson to his disciples, to everyone around him. His everyday life was a lesson. Our everyday life should be a lesson. Our relationship with everyone around us, the way we deal with people around us, should be a lesson for other people to learn. And how can it be a lesson if we don't first of all learn from God? We have to first of all learn from God. And how can we learn from God if we are not like little children, willing and anxious to learn from God? So that is one of the things that we have to do. We must be prepared to learn from Jesus Christ. We must be prepared. We must be teachable. We must be moldable. And if you turn to Psalm 25, the book of Psalms 25, the book of Psalms 25 from verse 4. See Psalm 25 in my Bible. I'm going to use my phone. Psalms 25:4. And it says, show me thy way, O Lord. Teach me thy path. Show me thy way, O Lord. Teach me thy path. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all day. So this is the prayer of David. Say, show me your way and teach me your path. Only God can teach us. Only God can teach us the spiritual things. Because God is a spirit. But we are flesh. So we can only learn from God. And how can we learn from God if we are not ready to learn, if we cannot even listen, to hear, to understand what God is saying? We must become like little children before we can enter God's kingdom. We must be humble, just like Jesus Christ was. We must be teachable. We must be willing to learn, and we must be willing to teach others. And when God shows us the way, that is not enough for us to know the way. But it is very important that we also walk in that way. When God shows us the way, it is very important that we walk in that way. That's the essence of showing us the way. And if we don't walk in that way, how are we going to get into God's kingdom? We must walk in that way, just like when God divided the Red Sea. He made a way, and the people walked in that way. And that was how the miracle, that was what made the miracle complete. So if God shows us the way, like it says somewhere in the Bible, you will hear the voice of your teacher saying, this is the way. But it also says, walk you therein. And that is what a child does. When we teach them, we expect them to walk in the ways that we are asking them to walk. And another attribute of a child is their ability to forgive and forget and move on. They forgive very easily. When you spank a child, and the next time you call the child back and you give the child a gift, they will say, thank you. That is what God wants from us. And that is what Jesus Christ does. Jesus Christ forgives us every time. Every time we come before him and say, we are sorry, he forgives us. We are observing this day of atonement today. picturing the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, how he became our atonement, how he died for our sin so that we can have eternal life. Let's turn to Matthew 6. Matthew 6. Let's see why it is important for us to forgive others and how it is connected to what we are doing today. Matthew 6:14. Matthew 6:14. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. So if you are fasting today for the atonement of our sins, and we have our brothers or our sisters or whosoever have offended us, and we have not forgiven the person, what are we doing here? We are wasting our time here. Jesus Christ says, if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive yours. So if we are here today and we have a kind of grudges against anybody, we have not forgiven our neighbors, our brothers, our sisters, or anyone that have wronged us, no matter how deeply they stabbed us, then we are wasting our time here today. It's better for us to go and find food and eat, because we are just wasting our time. Jesus Christ said, if we don't forgive your brothers, if you don't forgive men, anybody, their sins, your heavenly Father will not forgive you. And this is exactly what it is, brethren. So we have to become like little children in terms of forgiving. In terms of forgiving. If we don't forgive, we can never move on. If we forgive, we move on. We continue with our own journey to God's kingdom. We must forgive and we must forget and move on. If you turn to Matthew 18, Matthew 18:21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Until 70 times seven. So Jesus Christ, in other words, was saying, you must forgive, because it looks impossible for someone to offend you 70 times seven in one day. It's so difficult for this to happen. It's so difficult. But Jesus Christ said, even if it happens, you must forgive. So we don't have any excuse. We don't have any excuse to give to God. We don't have anything to say to God. The reason why we will not forgive anyone that have wronged us or anyone that have sinned against us. Jesus Christ said, until 70 times 7. Has anyone sinned against us 70 times 7 in one day? I don't think so. But that is how little children, that's what little children do. No matter how many times you've offended them, they will always forgive you. And this is the kind of people that God wants us to be, like little children, in order to inherit God's kingdom. Because in God's kingdom, we love one another. We protect one another. We watch each other's back. We live in peace with one another. And now is the time to learn it, to learn how to forgive and how to live in God's kingdom. Isaiah 1:18. Isaiah 1:18. Come now and let us reason together, said the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. So God is an example. He says, no matter how bad our sins are, that he will forgive us. When we ask for forgiveness, he will forgive us. These are the qualities that Jesus Christ possessed. Jesus Christ was so humble. Jesus Christ allowed God to teach him, and he was willing to teach others. You think it's easy to raise a child? The same way it's not easy for us to raise a child. It's not easy for God to raise us up. It's not easy for God to raise us the way he wants us to be. Look at what's going on with us every day by day. Today we are in, tomorrow we are out, for one reason or the other. It's not easy for God. It's not very easy for God to raise us to the standard of his kingdom as well. So God wants us to be like little children, so that every day by day he will continue to adjust our life, he will continue to mold us to be his people and to inherit his kingdom. So one of the another attribute of a child is they are loving. They are so loving. They are so loving. And we cannot talk about Christianity without talking about love. Without talking about love, because the Bible says that God is love. If you turn to Matthew 22:36. Please turn to Matthew 26. Matthew 22:36. I'll start from 35. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So, this is what we need to do as well. We need to make sure that we are loving God with all our heart. We are putting God in his position, which is the number one position in our life. We are submissive to God. We are serving God just like little children. And we are loving our neighbors just the way we love ourselves. We love our neighbors, not only physically, not only saying, oh, neighbor, I love you. We have to also show it in our action. We have to demonstrate it that we love our neighbor. That is how God wants us to become before we can enter his kingdom. He wants us to be people that will love him and love our neighbor. Look at what Isaiah 11 said, that the lamb and the lion will dwell in peace. How will they dwell in peace without love? The bond between them must be love. If there is no love, how will two people dwell together? It will be so difficult. There will be trouble, fighting, and chaos every time. So, for us to enter into God's kingdom, we must learn to love God and love our neighbor. Because in the kingdom of God, we have neighbors. And how are we going to love our neighbors in the kingdom of God if we don't know how to love now? Now is the time to learn how to love. And if we don't learn this lesson now to love, we will not be in God's kingdom. We will not be in God's kingdom. Because God's kingdom will not accommodate anybody that hates his neighbor, because we will not hate our neighbors in God's kingdom. We love our neighbors, and we will unite with one another in God's kingdom. So, this is another attribute of a child. They are so loving. And if you turn to Hebrews 13:1. Hebrews 13:1. Hebrews 13:1 said, "Let brotherly love continue." Let brotherly love continue. You know, let brotherly love continue. No matter what happens between brothers and sisters, no matter what comes in between us, the Bible says, let brotherly love continue. Offenses, whatsoever that comes in between us, the Bible says, no matter what it is, let brotherly love continue. Let love rule. Let's move on. That is what the Bible says. The Bible knows that offenses will come. The Bible knows that we are human. God knows that we will offend one another one day. But he says, let brotherly love continue. Love must rule supreme. Love must be in the forefront. Let brotherly love continue. That is what children do. Let brotherly love continue. Children are so trusting. They trust a lot. They trust their parents. Whatsoever you give them, they will eat. That is trust. The way you dress a child at home, that's how the child will appear right here. That is trust. And God wants us to trust him as well. How much do we trust God? How much do we trust God? Do we trust God as little children? Or do we look at God and we think sometimes we can do some things for ourselves and then God can come in later? No, that is not what little children do. They are so much dependent. They are dependent 100%. God wants us to depend on him 100%. God wants us to trust him 100%. If you have any problem, God wants us to knock at his door and say, God, I need this. That's what children do. They are always dependent. If my daughter wakes up in the night and she needs milk, you must give it to her. If you don't give it to her, everybody will wake up. That is what children do. They disturb their parents. God wants us to disturb him. God wants us to pray to him and ask of him anything that we want and trust in him to give it to us. They are so trusting. And how can we go to God's kingdom if we don't trust God? If you don't trust that God is preparing a kingdom for us where peace and unity will reign, where everybody will dwell in safety, where there will be no need for military, there will be no need for the nuclear weapons, there will be no need for anybody to be afraid. How can we enter into this kingdom if we don't trust right now that God is able to bring to pass whatsoever he has promised? And if you turn to Proverbs chapter 3, let's see the advice in Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs 3 says, "My son, forget not my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and life, and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of your heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and men. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not unto thy own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." Say, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Trust the Lord with all your heart. That is what little children do. And God expects us to do the same. God wants us to trust him with all our heart. God wants us to commit everything that we are doing into his hands and believing that he will bring them to pass. That is what God wants from us, trusting. And I want to read a scripture before I move on with trusting. I skipped the scripture about loving in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We'll go through it because it's a very important scripture about loving. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 1. Say, though I speak with the tongues of men and angel and have not charity and become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have faith so that I can remove the mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profits me nothing. Charity suffers long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seek not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. It's just like little children. Verse 7. Charity never fail. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in parts, and we prophesy in parts. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is part in parts shall be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I taught as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in parts, but then shall I even know also as I'm known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three things, but the greatest of these is charity. So this place is telling us how important loving our neighbors is, and loving God is higher than every other thing that we think that we are doing. It's higher, it's more important than every other thing that we think that we are doing. If you have it all and we don't possess this, every other thing we are doing is just a waste. So going back to trusting, so if you turn to Psalm 28, Psalm 28 from verse 7. And he said, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I'm helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him. Say, my heart trusted in God, and I got help from him. Isaiah 26. Isaiah 26:3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. So if we trust in God, just like little children, if we invest all our mind in God, just like little children, the Bible says he will keep us in perfect peace. Whether we are alive, or we are dead, or we sleep, or we are alive, God is going to do what he says he will do. We are trusting this promise that when we die, that God will raise us up. God will bring us back to life and transform our mortal bodies into immortality, and we will live with Christ forever and ever. We must trust God before this will come to pass. We must believe. Jesus Christ said, anybody that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who trust or believe in him. So, brethren, let us work so hard to become like little children every day by day, to become like Jesus Christ, the child that was given in Isaiah 9, and the child that will lead in Isaiah 11. Let us become like Jesus Christ, whom the Bible said that he was afflicted, that he was stricken, but he did not open his mouth. Let us be forgiven like Jesus Christ, the way he forgives our sins. Let us always remember Philippians 2:5 that says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And to close, I want to take you to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53:1. Says, who have believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of the dry ground. He had no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Why was he despised? Because he did not come here to associate with the big people, the rich, the people that consider themselves wise. Jesus Christ just came here to do the work of God humbly. Humbly. Someone that came from heaven. God himself came to earth, and it was difficult for people to recognize him. They even had to pay one of his disciples to identify him. That was how humble Jesus Christ was when he was here. The Bible said, when we shall see him, there's nothing special about him. There's nothing special about him. And because of that, people despised him. They rejected him. But today, we are all working so hard to associate with the rich, to associate with the wise, to belong. This is where we need to belong. We need to belong to God. We need to be God's people. This is where we need to belong. We need to belong to the church, where Jesus Christ is the leader. And we need to humble ourselves like Jesus Christ. Say, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was wounded for our transgressions, not his own transgression. He did not complain. No complaint. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own ways. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. I told you that it's not easy for God to raise us up to the kingdom standard. Say, we all have gone astray, and everyone to his own way, but God has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He's brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence. There was no any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased God to bruise him. He had put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, and he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. So, brethren, when we go through Isaiah 53, and we'll see how Jesus Christ, the level of humility that Jesus Christ wore when he came to earth, all the way from heaven, from God's kingdom, here on earth, to earth, and he humbled himself. He took those stripes. He took those beating. He was crucified. He submitted to death just because of us. This is something that reminds us, that tells us that we should become like little children, so that the sacrifices of Jesus Christ will not be in vain. The sacrifices of Jesus Christ for us to inherit God's kingdom, so that it will not be in vain. And it will not be in vain if we will become like little children, if we will be humble before God and submit to God, if we will be teachable before God and allow God to teach us, mold us, and direct us to the way of the kingdom, and we walk in that way, if we will be forgiving, if we will be loving, and if we will trust God with all our heart, then the sacrifice of Jesus Christ will not be in vain. But if we continue the way of the world, and if we abide in the way of the world, then the pain that Jesus Christ took on our behalf will be in vain. Therefore, brethren, I want to encourage us to work very hard every day by day to become like little children.